Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of What Are You Talking About? This week, my guest is Freya Moosbrugger. She is a seasoned CrossFit athlete who's competed all over the world, including the CrossFit Games, Dubai Championship and Wodapalooza. We talk all about her career thus far and how, unfortunately, her season this year came to an early end due to some of the quarterfinal video submissions. It's a great episode and I really hope you enjoy. Before we begin, a quick thank you to our partners ThirdZ. Using their sleep recovery collagen has been an absolute game changer for me and my routine, and it could be for you too. Head over to ThirdZ.com and use WODSLEEPER for 20% off. As always, don't forget to like, rate and subscribe to be the first to hear all about our new episodes and content. Enjoy! Freya, thank you so much for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me today.
It's my pleasure. I'm really excited that we get to chat. You've been a name that many people will recognize from so many events over the years. You've competed all over the world, of course, the CrossFit Games, but so many other things, of course, as well. So it's great to chat. I know this time of year is looking a little bit different for you this year. We'll dive straight into it so then we can get it over and done with. Of course, the CrossFit quarterfinals this year, there were many issues kind of across the board with different things of no reps and video submissions and all that. And unfortunately, you kind of got caught up in that, I suppose, is the best way to put it. So do you want to explain what happened, because I don't want to get any facts wrong. So your experience this year at quarterfinals.
Yeah, so I feel like there are a lot of things that happened. There are people who got no reps, people with video submission issues, people with copyright issues, all that. My case was that with the first submission window of workout 1 and 2, I had sent in my scores, and then I waited for them to request for my video. So I got the request for workout 1 and 2, and I sent in my scores or in my links for my videos. But then CrossFit sent me an email saying they didn't receive my workout 2 video. But then I didn't see that they sent that email. So it was kind of, it was on me that I didn't see that they requested again for that workout 2. Even though it shows up on my dashboard that I submitted it. So there's kind of a technical error. It was on me that I didn't see that, you know, they sent me an email. It ended up in my spam folder and I saw it an hour too late. So I tried to rectify the problem. As soon as I saw that email, I contacted everyone that I knew at CrossFit. But unfortunately, a deadline is a deadline and I missed it. And, you know, I saw that I got my workout taken off the leaderboard and all that, and there wasn't really anything that I could do at that moment. Although I did spend like days trying to get my score back up. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what happened. Really unfortunate.
Yeah. But from your perspective, you could see the video on there. It didn't look like there were any issues your end.
Exactly. Yeah. So usually until everything is finalized, like the leaderboard's finalized, you're like on your phone, double checking, all that, like taking screenshots, making sure, you know, those things are taken care of. Cause you know, you hear the horror stories about people, you know, with their scores not being uploaded properly or videos not working, all that. So I really thought I did my due diligence, but apparently I didn't. And, you know, worst case scenario happened, but I mean, now I can learn from that and just like check the spam folder, you know, just things like that. Like, I just hope that people can maybe learn from my situation, other people's situations in the future. Mm-hmm. And maybe there'll be like a better system in place, because it seems like there's things that happen every single year with videos and stuff that the online competition system just is tricky to navigate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah. I know you posted this, and I think a lot of other athletes, whether they were in the same situation or not, everyone talks about the lack of consistency, and that's a real struggle. For me, I struggle with the lack of consistency, just being a fan of the sport and working in, you know, the media of it. But for you, when it is literally determining what you're doing each year, how hard is it to process like something that worked absolutely fine last year and I'm talking this on kind of all CrossFit topics, but then you come in this year, it's exactly the same and it doesn't work out. How as an athlete, when your whole year is panned out against kind of this one weekend, ultimately, how does that affect you?
Oh my gosh, like in the moment it felt like my world was coming down. Like I spent days just so upset, and you know, just pull, like reaching out to any possible person at CrossFit that I could reach out to, and you know, pleading my case. And like I knew I was in the wrong, but just I was panicked and felt like there was something I could do to fix it. But it just seemed like in the moment other people were getting their issues fixed and my issue wasn't. But looking back on it now, like it was plain and simple. They sent me a warning email that I didn't receive in time. So I've come to terms with that now. But at the time, I was very much like almost playing a bit of a victim card in my own head. But I still think back to that time. It's like it was really sad for me because my season was just done. And it wasn't necessarily a fitness thing. It was just a technical thing. So, yeah.
And I think that's probably been some of the hardest things. And again, from obviously an athlete perspective, but from a spectating perspective, is we know these people deserve to be at semifinals. People like yourself. Right. There's other. I can list five other people that, you know, we're all pretty sure should have been at semis. And for a technicality or a no rep, and you know, granted, if there were no reps, there were no reps. But again, it's the technicality of who else's no reps didn't get, you know.
That whole thing is super gray too.
We could talk for hours on it, but it is, it's so hard, and it is your whole season. And so how have you then gone about, like, have you been watching semis? Has it been quite bittersweet? Because I'm sure you've obviously got friends competing and everything, but how's it been kind of the months following?
Honestly, I have friends in almost pretty much every region, so I've been watching them and cheering for them. And I actually tried some of the semis workouts because honestly, I didn't want to just like, you know, turn a blind eye and just forget about the whole season, because I really think it's important to stay on it to make sure that next year I come back even stronger. Because this year felt like a comeback year for me in a way of a poor performance in 2023. So I worked really hard and I was ready to showcase that. I was really looking forward to it. So I just want to make sure I stay sharp. So next year I have that. And it's kind of, I just am adding on another year and hopefully another year to get better to make that comeback happen. So for the 2025 season, the goal is to make the games, but it was this year. We'll just have to add on another year.
Absolutely. Hopefully we'll see you there next year. And so after kind of the initial disappointment of it, do you then go, right, okay, new plan, this is what we're doing? Have you booked, like, because of course you're going to also missing out on the live competition element of it, which is such a huge part for everyone. So have you booked any more comps? Like, do you start to just shift a change in your entire year?
Well, the reality of it, I tried to get back into training as soon as the issue happened. Like, I took a couple days off because I was sore from quarterfinals. And then I got right back into training and I just felt like mentally, physically, I wasn't ready. Like I just tried to get back into it and act like I was training for semifinals, but that wasn't necessarily the reality of my situation. I had to take some more time to process what actually happened, because it felt like I was mourning my season almost. So I took, like, I'd say a solid week off of doing structured programming, and I just trained for fun and trained with friends, tried to get my mind off of it. And slowly I've been able to get back on track and like work with my coach again and come up with a plan on what we're doing. And that plan has been changing like up until now. Like I'm still deciding exactly what competitions I'm doing, if I'm competing all summer going into the fall, or if I'm just doing a couple and then taking some of the summer off. Like we're just kind of going by feel, seeing like what mentally would feel good and what I physically would need to. Like I think it's really important to have an off season, and I need to structure that in some way. So I think the plan for right now is I'm doing Atlas Games, which is in Canada, and
Yeah.
then there's MetCon Rush happening in Maryland in the States. So I'll be traveling to those, and that's Atlas is in 2 weeks, and MetCon Rush will be a month out after Atlas.
Nice. And
Yeah.
that's great that there's obviously them opportunities to do it. I'm sure it probably doesn't feel, I suppose it feels a bit like a consolation prize maybe in a way. But I'm quite intrigued about what you said about then needing to be an off season, because CrossFit is an anomaly sport for so many reasons, but many is that your whole kind of career, shall we say, people will disagree with this in many ways, but is kind of based on 5 days, one long weekend. No other sport really does that. But of course, as the sport's growing, we're seeing more and more competitions throughout the year and bigger competitions. And I know you've taken part in many of them. Do you think it's hard for athletes to say no to them competitions, because it's a way to build your career, but it's also impacting your off season, if that makes sense? So how do you think about them other competitions? I know, as I say, you've done a lot of them. So how do you feel it impacts the end goal, so to speak?
I think, absolutely. It's hard to say no to a competition, especially when you get an invite. You feel kind of special, and you want to go to that competition because, like, you never know when that opportunity will happen again. And, I think, in 2022 was the year that I made the games, and the games was my third competition. So I didn't really compete a ton up until then. And then after the games, you would get invites to these competitions. So I basically said yes and traveled to everything. And at that point, competing was still so fun, and it felt like it wasn't draining until I reached the end of that long stretch of competing, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm dead. And I think, I reached like a physical or mental burnout of some sort before the season, the following season even started. And so I feel like I learned my lesson from there. It's like important to, structure your training and plan out what competition you're doing at the beginning of the year, and not just tack on a bunch of competition or events and traveling and all that. Like, it really does take a toll. And even if you do a 1 or 2 day competition, you have such a, like, your cortisol just runs so high, because you can say, oh, this competition's for fun, but you still put your body and mind through a lot to, like, put yourself out there. And there's always a bit of pressure, even if it's just on yourself, to do well, And then you have to, like, make sure you're training properly. And with that, if you go super hard, you need some downtime.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wasn't going to touch on last year until further down the episode, but I feel it ties in quite well. After, as you say, the 2022 games, and you did a lot of more lot more competitions, and then unfortunately didn't make the games last year. Looking back, do you think that affected it?
I think there are a number of factors why I wasn't able to perform at semis in 2023. I think part of it had to do with, having a very busy off season with competitions, like traveling all around the world, like Dubai, Miami. And also in that time span, I moved across the country away from my family. So that was also a big stress. And you don't realize how those things add up until after you look back on it, and you're like, wow, that was a lot on my plate. And I felt like I was just on autopilot that whole year, just training, and I didn't really feel pressure from a lot of people around me, but I put a lot of pressure on myself saying, I have to go back to the games. Like, I made it once, I have to do it a second time. But the reality was, the regions were completely different. There are now 60 people you're competing against, different workouts. The programming for me personally as an athlete, I wasn't strong enough to be at that high level that I needed to qualify for the games that year. But I went through it. It sucked, but I did my homework, and I'm glad that I didn't make it because I want to come back stronger and realize that, okay, I had to work on those things that were holes.
Yeah, absolutely. And
Yeah.
so we'll touch on, like, obviously you've been to the games, you've had a rookie season, and I really want to talk about that. But throwing it all the way back, am I correct in saying that, like many of us, you started CrossFit because of the documentaries? Yeah. I remember seeing that, and it's there will be people listening, and so many people I know that started this crazy sport because of a couple of documentaries. Tell me about your first experiences with CrossFit.
Yeah, so I was 16 and still in high school, and my mom showed me the documentary. We watched it together. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to do that. And so the next day, I looked up a CrossFit gym and I walked in there and I'm like, I want to go to the CrossFit Games. And I remembered the guy who was working there at the gym. He was like, okay, like, we'll see, little girl, you know? And I don't know, I showed up every day and worked really hard. I did double sessions right from the get-go, and I was just like on track. I want to make the games in 5 years. Like, I had a 5-year plan. And it's so funny because literally from like when I started, 5 years went by, and in that fifth year I made the games. So I literally manifested it from the beginning, and I'm super proud of what I did as a kid and my discipline, and like I still can't believe that I accomplished that, you know? And I
Incredible.
just want to follow it up again. Like, I want to go back and I want to prove just to myself that I can make it back there again.
Yeah, I'm absolutely sure you will. That's crazy to start at 16 and have that goal. And also 16 is such an odd age for so many people because you're going through this phase of, like, you're starting to wrap up your school life, you're starting to figure out who you are as a person. I'm sure many of your friends were, like, going out and doing all these things, and you were, like, grinding it out in the gym. How did you find, like, the discipline and the motivation to do that?
I feel like it was easy because I really distanced myself from pretty much everyone in my life, and I had a very close circle of those who supported me and what I did, and they understood everything. And there's like, I never was made to feel bad for my choices, which I'm super lucky. I never was faced with having to make a choice because I just was able to do what I wanted to do. And that's mostly to do with because my parents supported me. So I'm really lucky I had that. But everyone around me was just like, yeah, that's her goal. And, they love to see me just get better each year. And I'm lucky that those people are still in my life. And it was, of course, a very, very small circle. So it's nice that I still have them. But yeah, I think I didn't really struggle with that much. I think, I went through like 5 very hard years of training. And then, having that disappointing year after, it was much more challenging to deal with that and be like, okay, what now? Do I still want this? Like, I faced a really hard, like, no, like, you didn't make the game. So, all was that year for nothing? Are you sure you want to go, like, put your body, your mind through an intense year of training again? Do you want to do this all your life with the potential or the possibility of never making it back to the games? So I feel like I went through 5 easy years because all I had to do was just tunnel vision, head down, grind, like train. I was an underdog. Like, I surprised myself when I made the games, but it felt like I accomplished this big thing and I was just riding a high until it came crashing down.
Yeah, and it's so interesting you say that because for so many people, their ultimate goal will be, I want to make the CrossFit Games. And I think it's really important to have that conversation of, okay, but what happens next? Because it can be a really short-lived sport. For some people, you see them at the games for, I mean, we're seeing 11 years this year, of course. But there are also a huge number of people who have been to the games once, and that's it. I really like that you've kind of spoken about that, because you've obviously, you've set a goal for yourself, you've achieved it. And it is, I think, in any, you know, it doesn't have to be a goal as big as going to the CrossFit Games, because for many of us that will never happen. But having a goal, achieving it, and then going, oh, hang on, my whole life has been dedicated to this the last years. Where do I go from here? So I will loop back to that, because I really want to talk about the 2022 season. But really quickly first, am I right? Your mum does CrossFit, right? Do both your parents
She
do
does,
CrossFit?
yeah.
Yeah.
And my stepsister, yeah.
So did your mum do it when you started, or does she do it now because of you?
Oh, it was after I made the games, she joined.
Amazing. I wondered if being 16, your mum doing CrossFit as well, like, would, I mean, it obviously would.
No. It was just me. Like, they were like, oh, this, like, we would go on family vacations, and I would just be trying to work out anywhere we could. And, my whole family just wanted to relax. But I'm like, no, I need to find a gym. I need to train. And they never got it. But now, it's funny. We'll, like, if we do go travel somewhere, we can all go to the CrossFit gym, and they'll all be able to know what to do and be able to do the workout of the day. So I love that.
Yeah, and it's just understanding the language as well, right? It's because for us, like, I know I talk about CrossFit sometimes to someone who doesn't have a clue, and they're like, you are speaking a different language.
Yeah, I know.
So it's really nice to have that, like, camaraderie with your family. I love that she does it. So let's talk about the 2022 games, because as you say, you set yourself a goal, you achieved it. So incredible. I recall, like, a lot of things about that year, but there were quite a few rookies that year. And I remember you posting last year, 2023, because obviously they weren't games, and it was like a message to the rookies. And I love talking to people about your rookie seasons, because as everyone says, you only get it once. So how was that incredible experience for you?
I think it was so overwhelming that at the end of the weekend, I look back on it and I was like, I enjoyed a lot of elements of it, but at the same time, things were just so scary that I was like, okay, I ended the weekend on a high note, but I want to make it back here because I want to actually like experience this properly, because I felt like I was just a nervous wreck and overwhelmed and starstruck and, all those things like heat stroke. I just wanted to be, I wanted to go back because right away, because I was like, okay, I felt like, I dipped my toes in the water, but I didn't fully take the plunge.
That's a really great way of putting it. And it must be so daunting. So did you, obviously your goal was to get to the games. Did you set any further goals for when you were there?
No, I didn't, but I was disappointed in my placing because I looked at the last day and the programming. I was like, I would have loved to do those workouts. So I felt like I missed out because I got cut. And that was partially another reason why I'm like, okay, I want to go back and I want to do better. Like, I don't necessarily care if it was placing 15th or 20th or 25th, but like, I wanted to be above the cut line and do all the events and just feel like I left no stone unturned of the weekend. But honestly, I did my best at the games, and I was a fish out of water, and a lot of things were firsts for me. Like, I don't blame my coach at all, but I felt like we got there, and it was not necessarily imposter syndrome. It was literally like, I don't belong here at times. Like, I wasn't well prepared. But that also maybe had to do with only being, three, no, a couple of 5 years into CrossFit, three competitions under my belt. So I think it was just a lack of experience.
And that's crazy to say that your third competition ever was the CrossFit Games. So is that because you did semis 2021 as well, correct? So,
Yes, but there was the COVID year, so it was online.
course, yeah. Cool.
So it felt like I did quarterfinals for a second time, even though it was semifinals. And there, everything was online and it was super cool. Like, my whole gym got set up for it. but like I knew I wasn't close to making the games. But then when I refreshed the leaderboard at the end of the weekend and saw that I finished 12th, I was like disappointed. I'm like, oh, I want to go to the games. So
It
then
makes
that
you
just lit.
realize sometimes, right?
Yeah, that lit the fire, and then it made it happen the next year. So yeah.
So I want to ask, because like as someone who also started CrossFit because of the documentaries, and I'm a fan of CrossFit, and
Yeah,
you clearly are
me
too.
too. Still.
Going in, yeah, and it's so great. And like, so going in, and even going into like semi-finals, you are against some of the big dogs, but going into the games, and you are literally seeing like legend after legend in the warm-up area, like in the mass events. How do you like, is it quite hard to separate yourself from being like a fan to an athlete?
I would say yes and no. Like, I'm there to be competitive, but at the same time, I'll always be a fan. Like, I'm still a fan of, you know, the girls and guys that I look up to in the sport. And, you know, I can separate that because I'll meet them in person and, you know, have to act cool and respectful. But at the same time, I'll openly admit, like, hey, like, I've watched you since the beginning. Like, this is so cool that I get to speak to you. Like, I think I'll always be a fan just because I got into the sport being a fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's so incredible. And I think that's one of the things I say it, so people are probably sick of me saying this, but I say it so much about CrossFit, is that we have more access to our athletes than probably any other sport. And
I
whether
think
you,
so.
like you say, are competing at the CrossFit Games or you're going to drop in at someone's gym, like you get the opportunity to train alongside people. It's so incredible. And touching on the imposter syndrome, do you think going into the games, was it more of a mental battle than a physical one?
I think it was both. I like physically, I know I wasn't at that top level of competing yet. I think I needed to just get through that weekend, be thankful to be there, but it was there to really show me, okay, this is how hard you need to work if you want to excel here. But it also was motivating and cool and inspiring that, you know, you look back at, say, the Capitol event and you're like, that was an iconic event. And I get to say I was a part of that. And I did decent at it. And so, you know, I think that's really cool to me. And I'm proud of that. And then I think the mental side was just, okay, dealing with it just being a super long and tough competition. And, you know, you need to perform at every single event if you don't want to get cut, and dealing with the pressure of trying to be above that line. And, but I think there, everything just happened so quick and it was a whirlwind that I didn't have time to process any of that. It was just like trying to stay in a zone and stay focused.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you, since the games and since, because I know you mentioned as soon as you finished, you were like, right, I want to go back, or as soon as you started even, what have you changed in your, I suppose in your life really, that is going to prepare you for going back and not feeling as overwhelmed or as imposter syndrome, etc.?
Oh my gosh, a lot, I'd say. Sorry, there's a siren going outside. I made a move, like I said earlier in the episode, across the country. I moved originally for my coach at the time to be coached in person. So that was kind of what I was setting up for the 2023 season. And then it didn't end up working out. And after, you know, a disappointing semifinals, all that, went through it. I decided I needed a coaching change. And I'm going to give a shout out to Brent Fikowski. I reached out to him and he recommended Perrin from Training Think Tank. And he put me in touch with her. And honestly, that was the change that I needed and the most positive experience. And honestly, there's been times where I've wanted to kind of step away from maybe competing in CrossFit for a little bit, but the thought of losing her as a coach and getting to work with her on the daily, that's kept me kind of motivated to stay and work hard, because she's an excellent coach, an excellent person, an excellent friend. So She's been a really positive influence, and even through the whole quarterfinals drama, she's helped me keep my head on straight and look at the long term.
Yeah, it's so important. And also, I think with people like Training Think Tank, you've obviously got numerous athletes who are in very similar situations to you. Did it help having that, like, people on your level as well that you can relate to and talk to and work out with? Maybe not in person, but you know, you're doing, working with similar people and aiming for similar goals.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like the biggest thing is, you see these high-level athletes on social media and it looks like everything's perfect and all that, but when you get to talk with them and connect with them on a friend-to-friend level, like you realize that they're human too. They're going through things that are hard in life and just life in general. And you just don't feel alone as an athlete. So I think that's the plus of being a part of a camp that's a really healthy, uplifting environment. Of course, there are probably some other camps where it's like not great, you don't feel that way, but with Training Think Tank, you definitely feel welcome and uplifted. So I mean, going down to Georgia, I always come back feeling like I learned something or I made a new connection, new friend.
So you will be rooting for them all, like,
Oh
going
yeah.
into the season.
Yeah.
Is it quite nice as well? Because I suppose you're kind of, in a way, getting to live vicariously through them, through their season, right?
Yeah. For semifinals, I thought I was going to be super sad watching the East go because I would have been in that semi. But watching my friends compete and perform and exceed their own expectations, I could put my own feelings aside and I was just cheering for them the whole weekend. It was super cool.
I love
And
that.
seeing both Alexis and Travis qualify, like seeing that Travis made it, it was cool. I was happy for them.
Yeah, it was so awesome to watch. And I think I really love how you've kind of explained this whole season, because it's something that, as you've said, was kind of in your hands but kind of not. And actually, it really does suck, and you're not, no one's taken that away. But okay, cool, right, this is what my season looks like now. And actually, if I can still be a part of this through them, then why not? And I absolutely love that. So now, are you like still ramping up training for these events as if they were the games? Like, are you treating either of the events like they are your CrossFit games this year, or is it toned down a little bit?
I would say it's difficult to replicate like the ramp up to the games when you're not mentally in it. If that makes sense, like you're not going through it, so it's kind of hard to put yourself in that situation. But there will be times in the summer that I'll, take a week of training from my coach, and she'll be like, okay, you're gonna do this hard week of training and push yourself. Here's some times from who you would be competing against, like give it a good crack. So I'm looking forward to doing that this summer, and I'm hoping so. In the city that I live, Chloe Gavin David, she qualified for the games, and her and I live close in proximity, and we're actually friends. So I'm hoping I can jump in on a couple sessions with her and push her a little bit for some games training. So there'll be some opportunities that I can dabble in terms of like a games training simulation. But I think this summer will just be the competitions I'm going to. I obviously want to perform really well and place well, but I just really want to get back into it and feel good and kind of put the whole quarterfinals sadness in a box and kind of just get over it and enjoy the summer and do some fun competitions.
Are you
Because
looking?
I know that next year it's going to get really tough.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is getting, I should say, harder and harder every year. Are you looking ahead to the quote unquote off season now, at the kind of bigger comps? Are you looking ahead to them, thinking about potentially taking part in any of them?
So they just announced that the Rogue online qualifier is going to be in August, and they're taking around five athletes from there, like in previous years. And honestly, I would love to go back to Scotland. I loved it when I visited it. So I would love to go there. I'll have to speak to my coach and see if we're going to structure training to kind of peak for that qualifier because it'll be really tough to qualify. Like, there's no guarantees at all. There's a lot of good athletes that gun for those five spots. So we'll see if we'll put emphasis and make that a priority. But on the horizon, I mean, I just have those two competitions in June and July, and then we'll see what happens.
I love that. I think it's great. And
Yeah.
I will be at Rogue, so I
Oh,
hope you make it. I'm like encouraging everyone. Like
yeah.
the closest big competition we're gonna get for a while.
Yeah.
So
It looks
very,
so
very fun.
cool.
It does. And I think especially with the games being in Texas this year, it's really cool that it's not gonna be in Texas and it's a different
Yeah.
location. And I think actually completely throwing off and having it in Scotland and in November as well, where it's probably going to be cold, wet.
Yeah.
It's going to be really interesting to see like the home advantage almost. See what happens with the athletes and the competition and just where it is looks absolutely insane. So
Yeah.
hopefully we will get to meet in person there, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be rooting for you. And I'm just quite curious to ask as well. I know we've touched on the kind of mental side of training. For this, I suppose let's say this next season, this next year, because hopefully this time next year you'll be ready to go to the 2025 CrossFit Games. What will you change anything from now until then in terms of like mental prep? Obviously, as you say, you want to just go and have some fun at these competitions. But mentally, will you, without having this kind of ending to the season, if that makes sense, will you change anything in the next 12 months?
Yeah, I think I deal constantly with putting pressure on myself that I'm trying to alleviate. So, it sounds counterproductive, but I'm gonna try to loosen up a little bit and have some fun and just, not make sure everything is like to a T, because if I'm so uptight, I'm not enjoying it as much. So, and having some outlets, like there's been quite a few, especially female athletes in the recent years, who have spoken out about how tough it is to compete at the highest level and how they go through their struggles and how they need to just focus on themselves and not placement on the leaderboard. And I think that's so cool and so important that all these girls are talking about it. Because it's so true. Like, it's hard to do. And
It
I think, yeah, I'm just going to kind of, yeah, and enjoy competing at these fun competitions and not really, stress too much about how I do, but I just want to have fun.
How much, this is probably going to sound like a strange question, but how much fun do you have training? Because there's got an, I assume, be an element of this sucks and I don't want to be doing this, but what's the balance for you in terms of training? How much do you kind of have fun and enjoy? And then how much is this really sucks, but I need to do it?
Oh, I'm probably the loudest one in the gym. I'm like, if I'm on the speaker and I'm on aux, like I'm putting on my songs and singing and dancing around. And then when it's time to focus, like I'll focus and, zone in into the workout. But like, yeah, I'm trying to make the gym a fun place to be. And, if my friends are there, like I'm trying to have fun there. And I think that's really important because that's where you get better and you push yourself more, because you're kind of, when you're in the workout, you're competing against your friends and you're just trying to get better. And then there's no pressure, like it's just a workout. But sometimes when you're alone and you're like trying to be serious and focusing, like when you're alone with your thoughts, you're like, oh, I have to like get the fastest time. And if I break this up, I'm not going to go back to the CrossFit Games. And like those thoughts can seep in, and you want to get away from that as much as possible. So to make it as lighthearted and happy as possible is the goal. But it's important to have those sessions, where things are serious and you have to learn how to deal with both.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like a good balance. You seem like you'd be very fun to train with.
Well, I
I
have
love
a
that.
dance background, but it's in Highland dancing, so it doesn't really help me much at the club. Not that
That is
I go
hilarious.
there a lot,
I
but
mean, it might when you go to Scotland
yeah,
for
I
rugby.
know. I'm hoping I can jump in on a Highland Games or a Ceilidh somewhere.
Love that. Oh my gosh. If you do, I'm coming.
Okay,
100%.
perfect.
Absolutely. Okay, before I let you go, I have some quick fire questions, which, as I told you,
Okay.
never end up being that quick. So your favorite lift?
Ooh. Let's go with snatch.
Nice. Favorite overall CrossFit movement?
Favorite movement. Oh, this is hard. Man. Let's go with ring muscle ups.
Nice.
Yeah.
Your favorite benchmark WOD?
Fran.
Nice. I mean, okay.
Oh,
Great answer, but okay.
man.
And final question for you. If you were to go to the games on a dream team, who would you have with you?
That is so hard. I think there are a lot of people that I could pick, but I think I would want to pick an all-Canadian team
Nice.
because I am proud of the athletes that we have here. So literally any girl in Canada like to be the other girl because we have so many good athletes. Like any Canadian girl, like I know a lot of them, so I don't want to single out one. But
Love that.
then of course, Brent and Pat or Sam or Jeff, like any of our Canadian guys. So
I
yeah.
love it. Just Team Canada.
Team Canada. If
I
we could have
want
all of them in one team, that'd be perfect.
them. I don't know if you remember, like years ago, they did like a huge comp and it was like America versus rest of the world. I feel like we need to do that again, but have like America, Canada, UK,
Yes, or
like
the Invitational.
Iceland. Yeah, like all the things
Yeah.
because there are so many. And I think that's when you like the competitiveness goes up a notch when you're competing for your country. So I
Exactly.
love
Yeah.
that. Oh, well, Freya, it's been such a pleasure to chat. Thank you so much for your time and look forward to cheering you on in whatever comes next. But
Thank you
definitely.
very much.
Thank
Appreciate it.
you.